On this tape, we will explore some of Seth's ideas about reincarnation, simultaneous time, and the multidimensional self. Seth's description of the reincarnational process differs greatly from what many people believe. Reincarnation, as Seth describes it, is a very individualistic process. Each personality will choose its own unique way of using this process to achieve its goals. For example, some personalities prefer to be born with friends from other lifetimes around to provide comfort and support, while others prefer to be born in a more solitary situation. One of the key concepts here is what Seth refers to as simultaneous time. According to Seth, all time is simultaneous, and the future and the past are all happening now. In this context, all of your reincarnational selves are lived simultaneously in the spacious present. Your future selves are already alive, and your past selves are still happening. All of your reincarnation or simultaneous selves are parts of your soul or entity. You are not your reincarnational selves. You are both parts of the same overall entity. The you that you know, your normal everyday self, is inviolate and eternal, and is never diminished or threatened no matter how many times you are reincarnated. As parts of the same entity, we are connected in many important ways to our reincarnational personalities. For example, abilities developed by our simultaneous selves can be tapped into and used, and we often receive such information in the dream state. The simultaneous selves are in touch with each other. The experiences of our reincarnational selves often appear in our normal consciousness as ideas, intuitions, daydreams, or images. The dream state provides a meeting ground where there is a natural interchange between the various portions of the self. By practicing the art of bringing your full waking consciousness with you into the dream state, you can learn how to meet your reincarnational selves face to face. In the upcoming selection, you will hear Seth speaking initially to a student named Lawrence, who had just related a reincarnational experience in Jane Roberts' class. In order to present this selection in context, I recently asked Lawrence to give us a description of that experience for this tape. So before we hear Seth's comments to Lawrence, let's listen to Lawrence himself retell the reincarnational experience he first described in Jane's class in January of 1974.
Early in 1974, I'd been working on reincarnational material, trying to, you know, discover as many different aspects of my own personality that I could, according to what Seth was teaching at that point. And I had this experience. It was a daytime experience. I was getting ready to shave, and it was in the early afternoon. And as I started to shave, I looked, and the image in the mirror was no longer quite my face, and behind me, as instead of it being my bathroom wall, I was in some woods somewhere. And at this point in time, I had been going to the classes long enough where I was beginning to be able to go with experiences like this and not just freak out completely. So I decided to go with this, and it all happened pretty quick, and next thing I knew, I was inside the head of this fellow, and this fellow turned out to be some kind of Confederate officer, a lieutenant, I believe. He had a few soldiers with him, and they were interrogating a Union prisoner. And this guy's behavior was just really harsh and very hard for me to accept. And instinctively, I knew that this guy had something to do with me. He was some aspect of myself. He was a part of me. And this guy basically was threatening this captive and made it real clear exactly what he was going to do in terms of just really awful torture to get this guy to tell him what he wanted to know. And after this went on for a minute or two, I just got so queasy and disgusted with who this person was that I withdrew, and the next thing I knew, I was back in the bathroom in my apartment.
After Lawrence gave this account in class, Seth came through to comment, speaking at first to Lawrence.
Good evening. And if you sit inside his head, did it not occur to you that he also sits inside your head? And that your ideas change his ideas? For again, you live simultaneous lives. Your thoughts and attitudes now affect, in your turn, your future and your past. And so through your current experience, that other self also becomes aware of ideas that would not otherwise in those terms have occurred to him. And he is initially, as appalled by your ideas as you are by his. And yet they do enter into his consciousness, so he wonders where these ideas of cowardice come from.
Wait.
That is his interpretation. But the newer knowledge that you have in your term becomes available to him so that he can use it and interpret it in his term. And therefore, if he chooses, change his behavior. There is always a giver and a take. You are, therefore, a fit in his reality, as he is yours. And both of you are learning. For he is sure of his energy. And from him you can learn to be certain and proud of your own. Though I hope that you decide to use it in a different manner.
Before we continue with Seth, let's listen to how Lawrence reacted to what Seth had said to him.
After Seth said this to me, I had a lot of very mixed feelings. I originally was hoping that during the class, Seth would say that this guy was not an aspect of me. I can't stress the fact enough that this guy really was abhorrent to me. I mean, he was violent, he killed people, and he was proud of that. It was just really hard, and it was as far away from who I was as you can possibly imagine. And when Seth said this to me, and then when he said the business about me learning to trust my energy through this aspect, it really was hard to deal with. And then when Seth told me that this guy was as appalled by who I was as I was by him, it really hurt. I mean, here's an aspect of yourself that really didn't like you. Granted, I didn't like him either, but I never really quite thought that it would happen this way. You know, I kind of thought that all the different aspects of your soul would kind of like each other and understand each other and all realize that you were part of the same deal. You were part of the same soul, whatever. And there would be a lot of love there instead of this, not so much hatred, this instant dislike between me and the Confederate guy. And over the years, we've both changed a whole lot. The Confederate guy is not the person he was when I met him, and I certainly am not the same person that I was when he met me. I feel that what I've gotten from him is I definitely trust my energy a whole lot more than I did when this first happened 16 years ago. And I have a better grip on what I can accomplish in physical reality and how to have more fun with that kind of energy and getting things done in a kind of forceful way. Not, you know, necessarily macho or crazed or anything like that. It's just the ability to feel that, yeah, I can do this. I can get this thing done. And I think what he's gotten from me is maybe he's a little more sensitive. He's a little less violent. But I think as time has gone by, he's gotten some new ideas, and he's playing with some of those ideas, and it has changed him. When that energy comes around, and when I feel this person around, it's drastically different than it was when we first met.
After speaking to Lawrence that night, Seth directed a few more comments about reincarnation to the class as a whole.
Now, because we will be dealing with reincarnational material, you can then expect information in your dreams, and also what may seem to you to be some surprising daytime encounter. The very fact of your intent, you see, acts as an impetus that will draw to you some of the information that you want. But you will have also to learn to decipher it. The past is now. The future is now. You are not suffering because of any crime that you have committed in a past. And we want that clearly understood.
This last point was one that Seth repeated often, and is another important area where Seth differs from others in interpreting the reincarnational process. According to Seth, there is really no such thing as karma, as it is generally understood. We do not have to atone for sins committed in past lives, nor are we in any context controlled by our other selves. The point of power is in the present. You create your own reality. Here is Seth now, on another evening, discussing these topics.
We will indeed become involved in reincarnational activity, and more in depth than you now suppose, when most of you get to that point of realization that the point of power is now. That you are not at the mercy of a reincarnational past. Why is it, do you suppose, that we have not discussed probabilities in depth? Because some of you, and and I will keep my eyes closed. And not embarrass you, but you know who you are. Some of you would be so taken with those dogmas that still cling to you. So that as soon as you thought in terms of probable realities and probable sales, you would be bound to question where does karma fit in? And what guilt have I about a probable existence? And so probabilities will wait for a while. You are, whether you know it or not, and you know it, training yourself. I am not training you. You are training yourself. So that when we deal with reincarnation, and we are dealing with reincarnation now, whether you know it or not, and you know it, then you will use some common sense. Common sense. Is but when we deal with reincarnation, you will not automatically throw upon it old dogmas and old beliefs and find excuses for the guilt that you have been taught to feel. It does you little good if you throw the concept of original sin out the window. If you recognize that much of Freud's theories were nonsense, if you recognize that you are not at the mercy of the past in this life, and consider yourself emancipated and free and hip and in, and instead throw upon yourselves the idea of karma as it is interpreted, and believe instead that you are at the mercy of 30 centuries of a past instead of 30 years. Where are you ahead? You have dug a grave of theory. Therefore, in the framework with which we will study reincarnation, you will be at the center. And from that center, you will then look at your future and your past. Realizing, however, that the future is not predetermined, but the past is not predetermined either.
We are all fundamentally non-physical beings. Physical reality springs from a non-physical source. Now, some believe that physical reality is somehow less spiritual than non-physical reality. Some believe that reincarnation involves a descent into matter, or that the physical body represents a lower state from which we should seek redemption. Seth differs considerably on these points, for he states that physical reality is in no way less spiritual than other realities. We are all gods in training, couched in creaturehood. Our bodies are as magnificent as any flower or any sunset. And it is extremely important that we trust our bodies and respect the miraculous spirituality of the flesh. In this next selection, Seth talks about trusting our creaturehood. A few weeks prior to this session, Seth had given us an assignment to examine our beliefs about our physical bodies. One of the students was talking about her beliefs and said that she now felt that she could use her body to express herself. Seth came through at this point to comment.
You cannot only use it as an expression of you, It is an expression of you, whether or not you decide to use it as such. Now, the very fact that you are still thinking of using it means that you feel somewhat a part of it, apart from it, however, far more. You are thinking of making it a part of you, but you still feel a part from it. And now you decide to use it as a tool of your expression. But it is the physical expression of what you are. You are it in flesh. So you do not think that, well, I have this, so I might as well use it. It is strange that I, who have been without a body for so long in your terms, should have to teach you to be kind to the bodies that you have. And for now, I would like you all to do something. Close your eyes or leave them open as you prefer. But I want you to sense within yourself the living that is happening within you. I want you to feel that energy that is your own life flowing vitally through you, and to go along with it. It sings through your bodies and through your creaturehood. It may be difficult to listen to my voice and to sense that livingness within you. But my voice can also serve as a vehicle to let you experience that subjective feeling that is unique with each of you. You plunged into creaturehood at your birth. It keeps your eyes open and your lips smiling as you look at me. It keeps your legs up upon the table. It keeps your eyes blinking, and it goes on within you all the time. It is the essence of your being. It keeps you alive. If you cannot trust that which keeps you alive, then what can you trust? It keeps your fingers wiggling. It is the unknowing knowing that rushes within you at every moment that you can trust it above all things. It is the unknowing knowledge of which you can also become aware. But it is your most intimate being. It does not come from others. You will not find it in books or concepts or precepts. It comes from the intimate experience of your own being. When you are alone, feel it. go along with it joyfully and say, I give myself up to my life. And with that attitude, all other things that you need to know will come to you.
This is the end of side one. Please fast forward the tape and continue on side two. In the next selection, Seth talks about dogma, reincarnation, and the birth of ideas. Seth encouraged us to understand the reincarnational process, but not as a dry theory or a new improved technique of giving up our power and avoiding the present moment. Let's listen to Seth now as he was discussing some of these concepts one evening in 1974.
The Friday night decision that some of you attended had to do with history. And I do not want you to think of a reincarnation in historic terms. I do not want to think of you using reincarnation to reinforce old beliefs and ideas. I do not intend that it become the new dogma. I do not want you to think of reincarnation of sin as a left hand, other appendages of yourself that you can use for your own advancement, illumination, and amusement. I did that. As a teacher, of course, use our friend over here the other night and his experience to make certain points. But I make those points to each of you. I am not here to reinforce your ideas of history or of dogma. I am here to break down your ideas of history and of dogma. I am not here to build up a new system that you cannot grab a hold of and say, oh, Seth is truth, and so we have it all at 458 West Water Street. I am here to say you are truth. And you are history. I am here because you are courageous. Because you dare to come out to a place where you will be returned to yourself and to your own authority. I am a we, a group of individuals who will no longer accept their reality from others, who will instead accept the joy, the creativity, and the challenge of recognizing the fact that you create your lives individually and on earth. I am here because I am with a group of people who will no longer accept excuses for what they do not like in their reality. And a group of people who will be courageous enough to be proud of their achievements. I am here to tell you that you form history. It does not form you. You make ideas. You are the masters of ideas. They shall not enslave you. You shall not throw down your being and your humanity and your intimate life for an idea. Because you are human and alive, because you are consciousness, you form ideas. They come from you. You do not come from them. Ideas are creative and joyous and alive, but they belong to consciousness. Consciousness gives birth to ideas. You give birth to the ideas that are within you and that you follow. Do not be misled by any system of beliefs. This class, hopefully, will free you to move in whatever way you want, joyfully and with exaltation, within the beliefs of your own consciousness. You all know that the authority is within yourself. Often you are afraid of following it, and so you project it outward upon others and follow them blindly, recognizing the authority but not recognizing it as your own. And of course, not having to take the responsibility for it either. Not having to accept the creativity and the accomplishment of it either, for that you are denied. You make conflicts with yourself. And while you still believe in the reality of such conflict, you may make a better one, and a better one. You may give yourself a better deal, until you realize that you do not have to make a conflict to begin with. We will not be dealing then with reincarnation in historic terms. We will not hear trade one set of dogma for another. We will not be dealing in terms of karma and how you have chosen a life now because you are a bad girl or a bad boy in a past life, because you made contracts with the demons. All time is now. You are real now. Your reincarnational selves are real now. What you do affects each other. The power of the present is now. Someday, you will understand what I tell you again and again. And in each of your private illuminations, greater insight will come upon you than you can now imagine. You cannot think clearly of reincarnation unless you feel for the cells within your body, for there is a direct correlation to other portions of yourself. As you understand it, each day brings forth a new being. And the secret, so-called, of each reincarnational past are alive in each 24-hour period of your life. It is, my dear friend, so incredibly simple. And when and if I ever manage to slice through the hard work that you think must be done, then the knowledge will fall upon you as a raindrop upon a blade of grass. And no word will be needed. Now I return again to those selves that wait for you in the future and the past. To those selves that are present now in this room, that inhabit the same space in which you now sit. I return you to those voices that are your own. And someday you will hear these words speak from those mouths. And you will know why this voice sounds so familiar.
All of the different aspects of the self that Seth refers to in his writings, including reincarnational selves, probable selves, and counterparts, are parts of the soul or entity. A much more detailed description of these aspects can be found, of course, in the 10 published Seth books authored by Jane Roberts. Our entities, or souls, are eternal. They are never threatened. Our greater selves are multidimensional beings that provide us with the energy that goes to form our bodies and our consciousness. Our entities are not only fully aware of our everyday experience, but also simultaneously aware of all of the other selves which compose our being. And since there are no real divisions to the self, we always have access to the vast knowledge of our greater selves. Let's listen to Seth now as he spoke to us one evening about the relationship between our normal selves and our entities.
Your entities are not distant. Your entities are not super beings holding you at one time like a pebble in their hand. And then all of a sudden, they toss you out to the centuries and say, good luck, friend. You are a living portion of your entity, alive in space and time, connected with your entity. your breath flows through you constantly, and you take it for granted. Your entity is as much a part of you as your breath. Your entity is your support. You cannot hold your breath in your hand. And you cannot take your entity out of your pocket and say, ha ha, genie! But you know your entity with a portion of yourself that does not necessarily deal with words. When you are creatively at your best, when you are being at your finest, you are in those terms without word, in greater familiarity with your entity. Your entity is within you, and therefore it is within you that you must look, but not look so much as feel, for the feeling of your entity is unique with each of you. Do not think in terms of a person. Think in terms of a feeling, and that will lead you to an inspirational understanding of what or who your entity is. Or in larger terms, you are more than a who, and therefore so is your entity. As Rupert is discovering in his essay, you think in terms of personhood, one person. And so many of you, despite yourself, when you think of the entity, think in terms of a super person, a superman. Where do you think of a super woman? It has to do with your question about entity name and your interpretation. Free yourself of that concept. Think of a being that is free of your idea of a person, of a psychological reality, free of what you think of as personhood. Free, therefore, of experience in one place and one time. Free of one set of characteristics that it calls its own. But do not think so much as feel. Feel around within yourself for emotions that seem larger than your personhood. And that will give you a feeling for your inner.
The soul or entity is a constantly growing being. It is never finished or completed. And through the reincarnational process, the entity achieves growth and understanding. This does not mean that physical reality is the only dimension in which the entity achieves growth, for such is not the case. The particular manner in which each entity uses reincarnation is highly individualistic. The conditions of your birth, including the parents that you wind up with, is never thrust upon you, but is instead chosen according to your own individual goals and your own unique style. In this next selection, Seth speaks about these issues. His comments were prompted by a student's question about different types of reincarnational lives.
You use the idea of reincarnation individually. Some of you prefer greater variety. Some of you prefer the type of life where you follow through with your associates as a smaller boy in kindergarten follows through very nicely with all of his friends until he finishes high school and then follows them to college. Some of you prefer to have a series of female lives and then a series of male lives. Some of you prefer to stagger the course. Some of you prefer to develop in your terms, in progressive stages that you can understand and appreciate. Others choose entirely different methods, being perhaps an idiot completely in one life, with the intellect unused so that the emotions may be given free sway, and in another life perhaps being a genius, where the intellect is all fine and pure. You choose the way that it is your own way, and that way is comfortable for you. And Your entity is one
that likes to play around with variety.
Some, you see, follow through with national groupings. Some entities prefer to experience existence in each race. Others do not. There are no rules that say you must accept reincarnation in certain terms. You make your own way. Now remember what I have said to you to begin with, that all lives are simultaneous. You are having all these experiences at one time in your term. Now my friend Hubert tells me that it is time for class to end. So I have only one word for you all. And you have heard of me say this often. Let the vitality of your own being rise up and astound you. Be surprised and not frightened by your sense.
energize. But the energy that sweeps through this frail frame sweeps through your own. That you have energy that you are not using. That your own vitality is as real and as living and alive. And do not let an old thing like me, dead and reborn more times than I care to tell, put your vitality to shame. Therefore, listen to the joy of the atoms and the molecules within yourselves, to the vitality and the joy that is your own reality, to the creation that takes place within you now, to the creation that is unending and is your own. Make friends with it. And I bid you all a fond good evening. Those blessings that I have to give, I give you. And those that I do not have to give, you are seeking on your own.
Right, sir.
I hope you have enjoyed listening to Volume 1 of the Seth Audio Collection. Please support us in the ongoing publication of additional Seth audio tapes by telling your friends about us and by not allowing anyone to duplicate your copy of the tapes. If you are not already on our mailing list and would like to be, just send your name and address with your request to the Seth Audio Collection, Attention Rick Stack, Post Office Box 1506, Gracie Station, New York, New York, 10028.